Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Wonderful to have you with us. We're going to be talking education for much of this hour. And then it's about taking to the streets with dining al fresco. Number of Southern California cities are looking at closing off some of their main streets for restaurants to set up tables and people to be able to eat outdoors and physically distance and enjoy the dining experience. Long Beach, Pasadena, Palm Springs, just three of the cities that are moving in this direction. We'll find out from the mayors of Long Beach and Palm Springs how far along the way they are to making this happen in their downtowns. A little bit later this hour in higher education, we'll talk with administrators at three local universities who are planning for in-person classes and the return of students to residence halls in the fall. We'll talk about the way they're coming up with safety protocols for their campuses and how they're communicating to their students and their faculty members about the start of school on campus in August or September. But we begin with K-12 education and the superintendent of the nation's second largest school district, LA Unified, Austin Buettner. Mr. Buettner, good to have you with us again.
Good morning, Larry. Thanks for having me on.
So let's talk first about summer school and take this chronologically. So what is the plan for summer school compared to how it's been in previous years?
We're going to offer summer learning for every student, which we've never done before. We think it's important that students continue to learn. We think it's important we provide structure and continuity in a child's schedule during the course of the day. So summer school will be available for all students. We're going to continue to provide the intensive support, the credit recovery work that we've always done. We're going to offer the foundation pieces in math and literacy for all grades. And we've got some exciting new offerings together with community partners like Fender Guitars, Illumination, the Animation Studio, James Cameron, the Storyteller, where we'll weave in what they can bring. Fender, for instance, is going to donate guitars. Illumination is going to help our students learn to draw, create animation, and tell their own stories. And James Cameron is going to take high schoolers on a voyage in the Titanic to learn about physics and biology, the deep ocean, and tell the stories of those who were on the boat. So lots of exciting things in store. We hope every family who's listening finds their student or their child up for summer school.
And where are you at in equipping all those students who didn't have devices or didn't have broadband access when it comes to hotspots and devices? Is everybody equipped now?
Everybody that we can contact. We've reached out through schools, through phone calls. We can't knock on doors, but any way we can find a student who is with us when we close school facilities on March 13th, and we've tried to reach them. And every student who needs a device, a hotspot, connection to the internet, we're providing. So I would say almost there. We're in the 98-99% all the way K-12. Now, there will always be some that we missed, or some where a device breaks, or some where the internet access isn't working. We've set up a hotline. Families can call us anytime. We'll make sure that device, that access is provided right away.
And on a typical day, what percentage of your average daily attendance is being fulfilled?
Boy, typical would be very different. Different schools, very different at elementary versus, let's say, high school, for instance. We do know in the course of a week that almost all students connect with their school. That's a good place to start. We do know that schools are using many different ways to connect to students, and those different applications aren't necessarily all connected. For instance, I had a nice conversation yesterday with the CEO of something called Classroom Dojo, which is an engagement application our teachers and students are using in elementary schools. It's not connected yet to the main LA Unified learning platform called Schoology. We're working to make that connection, which will allow us to better track it. So I'd say almost all students are connected weekly. On a day-by-day, depending upon the instructional program your teachers provided you with, you may or may not need to connect. So connection may mean you're not learning because you may not be paying attention, or it may mean you're learning a lot. And the absence of a connection, if your assignment is to read a book or work on a writing assignment, also can be misleading. So the daily connection looks a little bit different, and I think a direct comparison to the previous model where you'd say, is a student in school and measure attendance as a proxy for so many other forms of engagement isn't as simple and doesn't translate directly to online.
Do you have an estimate of the percentage of students who are actively engaged, whatever you think is the best comp for what used to be classroom attendance?
Well, almost all are engaged. We do know that. They're connected. We do know they're engaged in some form of learning. I'd say we're still several weeks away from being able to try to help folks like yourself and your listeners translate it to the previous attendance-based model. Because even attendance was just a proxy. If a student was in class, it doesn't necessarily mean they're engaged in learning.
Sure.
We assumed all of that. And the converse is equally true online. So we're still a ways away from knowing everything we'd like to know, but our feedback from schools and from many, many families is learning is happening, engagement is happening. We're going to continue to make it better and better. That's the goal.
We're talking with Austin Buettner, superintendent of LA Unified. If you have questions for Mr. Buettner, you can share them with me on the AirTalk page, kpcc.org. You can also call 866-893-5722, tweet at AirTalk, post on the AirTalk Facebook page, and I'll do my best to choose some of those questions to pass on to Superintendent Austin Buettner. I wanted to ask you about the budget crisis your district faces and what you're looking at in the May budget revision from Governor Newsom. It looks rather dire for your district if there aren't additional funds coming from the federal government or from the state. Typically, in a circumstance like that, you would be giving early notice to teachers that they could be cut in an effort to balance the budget. We're past that March deadline to do that. Is there still an opportunity, if necessary, for the district to cut teachers?
Well, let's go back to the assumption, because I think let's challenge that assumption that funding will be less or should be less. It's going to cost more to go back to school. We need to continue to provide the devices and the connectivity. That's an additional cost. We need to make sure schools are not just clean but sanitized and everyone in schools has personal protective equipment. We're going to need to provide more mental health support than ever. And we're going to need to make sure where gaps in learning have occurred, we address those. And I'll frame it through the journey of a second grade student who we're just teaching how to read so she can read to learn for the rest of her life. Less isn't an optional exercise for her when more is needed. We either help her now, and she is a foundation to reach her full potential, or we don't help her, and the study after study will tell us she's more likely to drop out. She's more likely to become incarcerated. Her lifetime earnings will be less than half of her peers who do graduate high school. So I think the assumption that we're going to look at schools differently than we looked at or are looking at the healthcare system is just flawed. We've risen to the occasion to make sure our hospitals have everything they need and to make sure we're trying our best so more people are not infected with this awful virus. Shouldn't we be taking the same approach to schools? Because the harm or the consequence to that young girl, that second grader, I can make an argument she's as much at risk for a learning loss as she is for contracting the coronavirus. So I want to challenge that assumption.
I understand, but we still know from the Great Recession, when it was so difficult to come up with the revenue necessary to fund the district, there were significant cuts. This could be a similar circumstance. Maybe it will be, as you suggest, that the money will be found and this it becomes the ultimate priority. But if that isn't the case, how will you go about potential layoffs with the district?
Yeah, it becomes math, Larry. The 97% of the funds the state provides us are spent at schools, and all of our money comes from the state. So the state gives us money, 97% goes to schools, the rest is to administer the district. If there's a 10% cut, do the math, there will be cuts at schools. There's no way around that. That's math. But I'm suggesting before we get to that point that all of us need to take a step back and say, we saw the consequence of the Great Recession and what it meant for schools and cuts in schools and the harm to students. And are we really going to do that again?
Now, special ed is a huge part of what LA Unified does, and that funding was kept consistent in Governor Newsom's budget. So does that comparatively put your district in a better position than some of the others?
I think special ed, before we get to the point of constancy, let's look at inadequacy. The federal government, under a law called IDEA, which was passed by a bipartisan slate of congressmen and women many years ago, provided for a certain amount of funding. Congress funds that only to one-third of what it should fund. Within the state of California, special ed funding goes not to where the students are, but equally to all school districts based on your enrollment, not based on the actual occurrence or the actual services you're providing. So special ed funding in the state of California, we have twice the number of proportion of students with moderate to severe disabilities in our schools as the state average, but we're not getting twice the funding, and we should be. So continuing funding as is for special education means those students with disabilities in Los Angeles Unified are not getting the funding that they should. We provide the service. We become a destination for it. Students with moderate to severe disabilities, families choose where to live based on where their children can get the best service. And we're proud Los Angeles, San Diego, other places have become destinations for the service. The dollars need to go where the student is, not to all school districts across the state equally, because equal does not mean equitable when it comes to students with special needs.
You've got a team at L.A. County Office of Education, a special team that's monitoring the expenditures by your district. Do you think, particularly given the amount of spending that you've done as a result of COVID-19, including feeding not just your students but their family members as well with grab-and-go meals, that the county could end up taking over the district?
The county is looking at anything we do that is an emergency authorization in the context of this, as they're looking at all the other school districts. It's not unique to Los Angeles Unified. And so far, they've verified and agreed with everything that we've done. And feeding children and adults is the right thing. We've been very clear since the outset we're doing it because we can, and we're doing it because nobody else is. We just conducted a survey of families we serve since the coronavirus came just a few months ago to our community. More than half of the families have had someone in that household lose a job. The need is very real and growing, and if the county or the city or the state want to come in and provide the adult meals, we'll step back. But in the absence of their efforts, we're going to continue to do it because it's the right thing. I think the opposite should be looked at, which is the county, the city, and the state should be showing up with dollars to help support the effort because the need's there.
And you're going to keep providing the meals for full family members at the schools?
Absolutely.
We're talking with Austin Buettner, superintendent of the Los Angeles Unified School District. He joins us on Air Talk, talk about what's going on with LAUSD, the huge challenges the district faces. Now, let's take a look at the fall. In a couple minutes, we're going to talk with college administrators who have made the decision they are going to be reopening their campuses in the fall. Where are you at in the decision-making process as to whether students will be welcomed at least some campuses in mid-August?
We're still doing our homework and doing it alongside health experts and scientists. So we work with the county health experts. We have a team working alongside scientists at UCLA, epidemiologists, virologists, testing experts, because it's the science that's going to provide the foundation for the best and most safe return to schools. Just the science, not elected officials pondering different alternatives. And spreading the desks apart will be the easy part. So we got to be guided by science, and let's see what we've learned so far in the science. On March 13th, we closed school facilities. There were no occurrences in our schools, none. We did not want to be the petri dish where the disease became shared with others in the community. Since then, there are now almost 40,000 cases in Los Angeles Unified, and scientists tell us the disease is easier to spread, and individuals without symptoms can spread it. So the talk of reopening right now is not built on a foundation of science. It's built on conjecture and discussion about what the economy needs or what those in the community may need in terms of their life.
Well, and what students need. They're competing scientific priorities, I think you could argue. The ones that you're talking about in terms of the spread of COVID-19 are absolutely critical. But as you know better than me, on the other hand, you've got students who are really struggling and are falling behind or falling out because online learning, for a variety of reasons, is not working for them, whether it's the platform itself and the way that they learn or whether it's the home environment in which they live getting in the way of that. So isn't there also a scientific imperative to get classes back on campus as you're trying to keep people physically safe?
Get students back in school. That's where learning best occurs, in particular for some of our most vulnerable, our youngest learners, who are less capable at this point in their lives of learning independently. So I absolutely agree with you. But when I hear conjecture that we can move desks apart and somehow that is called safe, it may be less risky and we're reducing risk, but any conversation we're going to have with the school community about reopening is going to make sure all understand the risk being taken, how we're trying to mitigate or reduce the risk, and what the benefit is of being back in a school community.
And
balanced, but I think that there's too much discussion about spread the desks apart with the assumption that somehow that makes it all well and good.
Well, and the bigger risk is arguably to your faculty members and staff members. So have you thought about the potential for your older teachers and those who have underlying conditions about what this would mean for them?
It will be, we have a working group together with our labor partners, so students, staff, and family members helping us think through these issues. And it will not just be to staff in schools, because students have the risk of bringing the virus home where they may have an elderly grandparent or someone else in part of their family. So the exposure risk in reopening schools is to students, staff, family members who might visit campus, or students or staff who might take it home to others in the household. All those things we're looking at very, very carefully. In the coming weeks, we'll share more. We're planning to start the new school year at August 18th, as you said, and whether we're back in schools in some hybrid model or not able to be safely back in schools, we haven't made those decisions yet.
Austin Buettner, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for talking with us today on Air Talk.
Larry, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Austin Buettner, Superintendent, Los Angeles Unified School District. Coming up, we'll talk about higher education here in Southern California. We have top administrators at three local universities who'll talk about the reopening of their campuses in the fall, how they're intending to do it, what sorts of risk management is a part of that, and what they're hearing from their faculty and students. It's Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. We'll be back in just 1 minute.